This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our resurrection, and our life. Amen. You know, some things are easy to believe, and some things are hard to believe. How many of you here have heard of a series of books called Ripley's Believe It or Not? Raise your hand if you've seen those books. Most of you have. My youngest daughter recently checked out a Ripley's Believe It or Not book from her school library, and I skimmed through it on Halloween night. And as I read through the book, I said to myself, you know, some of these things are easy to believe, but some of the things I read in that book were hard to believe. Now, what makes something hard to believe? Well, usually, if we're told about something that most humans have never experienced, or if we're told about something that seems to go against our basic reason, then we have a hard time believing it. However, just because we've never seen something, or just because something doesn't make sense to us, doesn't mean that it can't be true. In fact, our willingness to believe the unbelievable depends on two things. First, if we can witness the unbelievable thing for ourselves, then it makes it easier to believe. On the other hand, if we can't witness the unbelievable thing for ourselves, we still might be willing to believe it if the person who's telling us about it is someone whose word we can trust. Well, as I said, today is All Saints Sunday. On this day, many Christians around the world are rejoicing in the belief that those Christians who have died are now with Christ in spirit, awaiting His second coming when He will raise all our bodies from death and give us believers eternal life with God in His new creation. The question is, do you believe this? Our gospel reading is from John chapter 11, and it tells us about the time Jesus visited the home of Mary and Martha, whose brother Lazarus had died a few days before. Now, Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to die, and yet He allowed it to happen. Why? Well, Jesus wanted to give us a sign that we can trust His word. Jesus told Martha, "Your brother will rise again." Now, Martha assumed that Jesus was talking about the day of judgment, that day when all people's bodies will be resurrected. For example, in Daniel chapter 12, we read these words, "Those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." In addition, listen carefully to these words from Revelation chapter 20. "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done." Now please understand something, especially since last Sunday was Reformation Sunday. When John says that we will be judged according to what we have done, he does not mean that our salvation depends on our works, nor does he mean that our good works can somehow cancel out all our sins. No. Instead, when John says that we are judged according to what we have done, he's speaking about the life of repentance and faith versus a life of rebellion and unbelief. In other words, If you are the kind of person who repents of your sin and trusts in Jesus for salvation and strives to live according to God's will, then you will be judged to be one of God's children on the final day. But if you cling to your sin, if you see no need for Jesus, and if you live according to your own will, then you will be judged to be a child of the devil on the final day. Now, Lazarus died in the hope that he would be resurrected as one of God's children. Why? Because Jesus had saved him. Lazarus confessed his sin and he trusted in Jesus for forgiveness and the hope of eternal life and God's love. In fact, remember what Jesus said to Martha? He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Now, those are wonderful words, but at first they appear to seem a bit confused. I mean, what is Jesus saying? He seems to be contradicting himself. First, Jesus says that whoever believes in him will live in the future even though he dies in the present. But then in the same breath, Jesus says that whoever lives and believes in him now will never die. I mean, how can both be true? The answer is that Jesus is speaking about both our future physical life and our present spiritual life. Let me say that again. In these words, Jesus is speaking about both our future physical life and our present spiritual life. For example, Jesus is speaking about the future physical resurrection when he says, "Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies." However, after that, Jesus then speaks about our present spiritual life when he says, "Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." You see, Scripture teaches that believers have eternal life with God right now. When we die, our spirits go to be with Christ, awaiting the day of resurrection. In fact, Jesus is with us right now. There is never a time when believers are not united with God. That's what it means to have eternal life. You see, eternal life is so much more than merely living forever, because even the people in hell will live forever. No, the whole point of eternal life is that we're living forever with God. We've been reunited with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And that means you have eternal life right now, because through Christ you are reconciled to God. Jesus gives you spiritual life in holy baptism. Jesus gives you spiritual life when you hear and read Holy Scripture. Jesus gives you spiritual life when he feeds you with his own body and blood in Holy Communion. And you know what that means? If you have spiritual life, then not even physical death can take you away from God. As I said, when believers die, their spirits depart to be with Christ until the final day, when our spirits will be reunited with our resurrected bodies. And we have this future hope because we now believe in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. But what does it mean when Jesus says that he is our life? Well, Jesus is our life because he gave his life for us when he died on the cross in our place of death. You see, we sinners were conceived with spiritual death, meaning that we were conceived as people who do not love God and do not trust him. And that's why we face physical death, because physical death is God's sign that we do not love him or trust him. But Jesus took our human flesh upon himself so that he could give us new life when he went to the cross and died in our place of damnation. He did that so that we might be forgiven and live with God now and for all eternity. Now, Jesus also said that He is our resurrection. What does that mean? Well, Jesus is our resurrection because death could not hold Him in the grave. 3 days after He died, Jesus' spirit entered His body again, and He then rose from His tomb. And Jesus now lives as our Lord and Savior, promising that just as He died and then conquered death by physically rising, we too can face physical death, knowing that through Christ our bodies will rise again to live forever in God's new creation. In fact, Holy Communion is one of the ways that God assures us that we have life with Him now and the hope of a physical resurrection in the future. As Jesus says in John chapter 6, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." After that, Jesus asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" And by the Holy Spirit, Martha answered, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Now, did you hear that? Martha believed Jesus even though she had not witnessed anything that Jesus had promised her. In other words, Martha did not believe in the resurrection because she had actually witnessed someone rising from the dead. Remember, Jesus had not raised Lazarus yet. No, the reason she believed is that she trusted Jesus' word. As we heard in our epistle reading, according to the Lord's own word. Now, as you heard later in our gospel reading, Jesus did eventually raise Lazarus from the dead. Martha and many, many others who were there witnessed this with their own eyes. But you know what's amazing? Did you know that some who witnessed Lazarus' resurrection still would not believe? They would not trust Jesus' word. And so they would not believe, even though they saw Lazarus walk out from the grave with their own eyes. Today is All Saints Sunday. We Christians believe that those believers who have died are now with Christ in spirit. We also believe that their bodies will be resurrected on the final day. But why do you believe this? I mean, you never saw Jesus rise from the dead. You weren't even alive. And you've never witnessed any person being resurrected. Why do you believe this? You believe because, like Martha, you trust Jesus' word. Listen carefully to these words from the end of John chapter 20, where the apostle writes this. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And so Jesus asks you this question today. Do you believe this? And by the Holy Spirit, we confess with Martha, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Amen." Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our resurrection and our life. Amen.